College students have left their dorm rooms across the country for the summer, and that means a lot of apartments are changing hands, often without a lease, just an agreement to pay rent for a few months. It's an old tradition, but the way it's done is different than it used to be. And Devin Thorsby is real estate editor for U.S. News and World Report. She joins us now to talk about that. Devin, how different is it for college students in 2017 to find summer sublets than it was a couple decades ago?
I think it's the internet definitely changes the entire platform for the way college students are looking for those temporary places to live, as well as temporary tenants to take over the apartment or room in the college town that they live in.
When I did it, I think I used Craigslist, which was probably brand new at the time. What are they using now?
A lot of them are using social media sites like Facebook. A lot of cities or colleges will have housing groups that you can post a room to or post your information about for the length of time that you're looking for a room, as well as in different cities, alumni or other students in those cities are making those same posts. So if you're going to a different city for a shorter period of time, you can find those available rooms and apartments as well.
Are some people just using Airbnb and staying for a long time?
I would say so, yeah. There are Airbnb definitely allows for longer month-to-month stays, and they also facilitate sublets as well. So Airbnb is definitely an option.
So how does the fact that people are using social media or they're using these sites to find their summer housing, how does it change the experience? What are the downfalls of that?
Right. I think it provides kind of false sense of security. It feels a little bit safer than something like Craigslist, which is something I've used personally. But you're able to see the person's face and click on their profile and see their information, see if you have any mutual friends with them. But at the end of the day, a friend of a friend of a friend that you see on Facebook that's interested in renting out your space or having you come to stay with them is still a stranger.
Well, and we also know that companies like Airbnb have faced trouble in the past because of exactly that. You can see what the person looks like, or you can see what the person's name is, and you can make judgments about that person. And there have been accusations of racism.
Absolutely. Landlords are very concerned about sublets and platforms like Airbnb that allow for a little too much discretion on the renter's part. Landlords don't want to deal with the liability of fair housing laws. They want to make sure that the people staying in their apartment buildings or their rental houses are vetted in the exact same manner to make sure that there is no bias. And sublets that don't go through the landlord or aren't approved by the landlord can often have that problem.
What are the risks for somebody if they are subletting an apartment for the summer and maybe not even signing a document, just sort of on a handshake?
Right. If the landlord doesn't know that you're there, you won't be able to get basic maintenance done in the space. If something like a clogged drain or a toilet needs to be fixed, you don't have the landlord's contact information, and the landlord probably wouldn't be too happy if they found out that you were staying there and not the tenant that's supposed to be there. As well as paying rent, you want to make sure that the tenant that you got the space from is properly paying rent. Otherwise, you could find the space closed off and both you and the original tenant evicted if the landlord isn't aware that you're there or if they find out that you're there and you're not supposed to be.
Who's at greater risk? The landlord, because they've got somebody that they don't know that well living in their apartment for a few months, or the renter?
I would personally say the renter, just because being evicted, ending up homeless would probably be the worst situation. But the landlords have to deal with such liabilities when it comes to fair housing, and they want to make sure that they're protecting their other tenants as well. If the person that's subleasing a space hasn't been vetted in the same way for criminal background or their credit check, things like that, other tenants could be very upset and possibly in danger if it's not going through the same process.
So what would be your advice to somebody out there listening who is getting ready to sublease for the summer?
I would definitely first go through, kind of do your Facebook stalking if you really want to. Make sure you feel confident. If you guys do have mutual friends, reach out to that person that you are friends with to inquire a little bit about them. I would recommend, if you can, meet them in person in a public space and make sure that their landlord knows that you're there and has documentation that you will be staying on the property.
I'm just reminded now of my subleasing experience in college, and the refrigerator broke. We were in a basement apartment. I had a roommate, and the refrigerator broke, and we called the landlord and told him that, and he just dropped the fridge, the new fridge, off right at the bottom of the stairs. We couldn't even get into the apartment without moving it in. So, yes, I guess you would call that person a slumlord.
A little bit.
Right. That's Devin Thorsby, who is real estate editor for U.S. News and World Report. Devin, thanks.
Thank you.